The reading is written in Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 to 50, and is to be found on page 978 in the Church Bible. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother, and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Kirsty. Let's pray together, shall we, as we look at this passage. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you that they're your words to us today. And Lord, as we look at this little passage, we pray that you would help us by your Holy Spirit to hear from you and to respond positively and obediently to where you guide us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So earlier this year, the Springgate family and the Atkinson family went to Spring Harvest. That's a sort of Christian conference over a few days where thousands of people gather to worship and study God's word. And they put up a great big tent, a big top, so they can get all the thousands of seats in it. And we're on our way to the Bible teaching, or plan to go to the Bible teaching. But because of the extremely high winds, I don't know if it was on the back of Storm Kathleen or whatever it was at the time. But anyway, they had to close the big top because they were frightened it was going to get, you know, blown away, whatever. So they moved the Bible teaching to a smaller but safer venue. But as I say, it was smaller, and that meant really long queues. You know those sort of queues when, you know, you're walking against the queue and you're thinking, oh, there's a gap up there, that's nearly to the end. And then you realise, actually, that's just a path for people to pass the other way. And then it snakes on and snakes on. Anyway, cut a long story short, Ailish and Sue, they got in to the Bible teaching. But Richard and I, the poor suffering husbands, there was no room for us. So Sue and Ailish, they're inside, they're hearing the teaching. Richard and I outside, missing the teaching. Well, in our Bible reading, Matthew, who's one of Jesus' disciples who wrote this gospel, he tells us that Jesus was continuing to teach the crowd in a house that he had withdrawn to. We're told a little bit earlier in the chapter, he withdrew to this house because of death threats against him. And if you've been tuning in for the last couple of weeks, you'll know that even though he withdrew to this house, there hasn't really been any respite for him because he's just been facing opposition and accusation all the time. And in addition, if we read the parallel passages in Mark and Luke for this story, we learn that the house was actually crammed with people. So, you know, it wasn't peace and quiet for Jesus at all. So that's the sort of scene that we have as we look at this passage. And then in verse 46, Matthew tells us that Jesus' mother, Mary, and his brothers, we know that he had at least four brothers, but we don't know how many were outside, but Mary and his brothers stood outside. A bit like Richard and me at Spring Harvest, maybe. Well, not really, because Richard and I wanted to get inside to hear the teaching. But Jesus' family, they didn't want to go in to hear the teaching. They wanted Jesus to come out. And the expectation would have been that Jesus, as the eldest brother, would have met his family obligations and gone out and honoured his mother and found out what was going on and see what they wanted. But he doesn't. Jesus doesn't do that. Their arrival is an unwanted interruption for Jesus. And his response, as we read it, seems quite dismissive. My paraphrase here, but he seems to be saying, well, who are my family? Not my mum and siblings outside. These people in front of me. And if that message was passed back by that messenger that Jesus spoke to, that would have been, I guess, pretty humiliating for the family outside. However you look at it, it seems shocking, doesn't it? And perhaps it seems more shocking because Matthew doesn't really provide any obvious reason why Jesus chooses to ignore them. and seemingly put them down. And you know, when we encounter sort of passages like this where there's apparent gaps that we want to know the answers to, it's very easy for us to speculate. But what we do know from other Gospels, the other Gospels, as we read them through, is that at this point, Jesus' family either didn't understand or they were undecided, you know, or they didn't agree with the way that Jesus' ministry was shaping up. And of course, Jesus would have been very aware of that as he was in the house and they were outside. So what is going on? What is Jesus doing? And what is Matthew, the writer, wanting us to see from this passage? Well, I think there are at least, but let's pick out four things. So the first thing is, in verse 46, as we've already touched on, the family stood outside. Now, throughout his gospel, Matthew's been showing us how different people have responded to hearing Jesus' teaching and his claims that he is the Son of God, that he's King of God's kingdom. And, you know, if you're here a couple of weeks ago, we read verse 30 in this chapter where Jesus makes very clear that in terms of how people respond to him, where he said, whoever is not with me is against me. And now we see that at this point, Jesus' family are outside. They're not inside. They're not with Jesus. They're outside the building. They're outside of his teaching. They're outside of his presence. They're outside of a right relationship with Jesus. And this is a crucial point because Matthew wants us in these verses not to speculate what may or may have been going on between him and his family, or, you know, why they wanted Jesus to come outside. Matthew wants us to concentrate on what it really means to be a disciple of Jesus, to be committed to Jesus, and how to be part of the family that matters most, and that's God's family. So that's the first point. The family stood outside. And then secondly, Matthew tells us that Jesus was teaching. Now, you know, it wasn't that Jesus' biological family were unimportant to him, but Jesus' priority was to do his Father's will. God had sent Jesus on a rescue mission to us on earth. And Jesus' Father, he's willed that Jesus should preach and teach in words and actions, you know, his authoritative words and his miracles, in order for people to know the truth of who Jesus is, what he came to do, and what we need to do in response when we hear his words. So Jesus had a crowd of people with him, most of whom, you know, who wanted to listen and learn from Jesus, and that included his closest disciples. And Jesus knew how critical it was that people heard his good news fully and clearly, because their response to it then, as it is for us today, you know, is a matter of life and death. It means if we accept Jesus, eternal life in God's kingdom. If we reject Jesus, it means life outside of God's kingdom, eternal death. Now, the fact that Jesus told the parable of the sower, and Matthew places it straight after at chapter 13, emphasises this point. We're going to be looking at the parable of the sower next week. But Jesus said, when explaining that parable, he said, let me just quote from what he said. He said, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom, that's the good news of Jesus, and does not understand it, the evil one, that's the devil, comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. And Jesus appears to play out a real-life illustration of that parable involving his family outside and him inside. Because Jesus' priority here is to sow the seed, i.e. to teach the good news about himself, the truth of who he is, to those inside the house. That's his main priority at that point. He wants his seed of teaching to be understood, to land on good soil and grow, so that the hearers in the room, in the house, will commit to him and follow him, and in turn they will do God's will. Jesus wants to avoid the potential, if you like, for the devil using the circumstances, using the people to cause a seed of his good news, his teaching of the gospel, to be snatched away. And in this case, that risk would be an interruption by his family outside. So Jesus' family were outside. Jesus was preaching. And then thirdly, Jesus' family were inside. Verse 49, Jesus points to his closest disciples. They're the people who are going to be the foundation of the Christian church, which you and I are part of now if we believe and trust in Jesus. And Jesus said, "These are my brothers and mother." He contrasts his biological family outside with his new developing family inside, his kingdom family. Those that respond positively, obediently to hearing Jesus' words. Words to repent, words to change, to be like Jesus and intend to live a life doing God's will. Now, as I touched on earlier, Jesus absolutely wasn't minimising the importance of family relationships, all right? So don't hear me wrong here. Our love and care of our biological families is really, really important. And we know, for instance, that Jesus loved and cared his mother Mary, even to the point as he hung, as he was dying and hung on the cross in agony, he looked to Mary, his mother, and one of his disciples, John, and said, "John, this is now your mother for you to care for." So he wasn't minimising the importance of family relationship. But what Jesus was doing was practising what he preached, to use that phrase. Because he was emphasising that teaching how to have a right relationship with God in heaven was most important because of the eternal implications. Now this, we touched on it a bit earlier on in the service, but this concept of a new family that Jesus was forming for those who believe and trust in him, you know, was radical and astonishing for the people of that time, for Jesus' listeners. And as I was preparing, it just made me wonder, we were praying about this before the service as well, I just wonder, you know, if being part of God's family feels as astonishing and as radical and wonderful to us now as it did maybe to then. If you're a Christian, knowing that Jesus is your brother, knowing that God, the creator of everything, is your heavenly Father, you know, it's no less wonderful 2,000 years on than it was on that day. I wonder if you're a Christian here now, you know, do you see the wonder and the blessing of being in God's family? And you know, whether we have really good relationships with our biological families, or maybe they are difficult and painful relationships, what Jesus tells us here is that when we trust and obey him in Jesus, he brings us into his bigger, his better, his greater family, so that we can love and care and encourage each other two ways as we seek to give glory to God by doing his will. So Jesus' family is inside. And then the fourth thing, Jesus tells us that Jesus' family, Matthew tells us, that Jesus' family are distinctive. And verse 50, Jesus says, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, sister," and so on. Now, it is worth just sort of making sure that we understand this correctly, what Jesus is saying, because we mustn't get the idea from here that we can earn our relationship with God. We can't come into God's family by trying to do God's will, because we're not capable of doing that in our own strength. But rather, what this is about is that doing God the Father's will identifies us as being in God's family. Let me just pick that out, open that out a little bit more. The only way to become part of God's family, to be Jesus' brother or sister, is to, you know, to become a child of God the Father, is to listen to Jesus, is to respond to Jesus, to believe in Jesus, to follow Jesus, and to trust Jesus. Jesus said this himself in John's Gospel. I think Mark preached on this a few weeks back when we were looking at the different I Ams. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We can't earn our way to God the Father. We commit our lives to Jesus and become part of God's family. When we come to Jesus in repentance for our rebellion against God, Jesus forgives us. We commit our lives to him. We receive God's Holy Spirit, another wonderful blessing that God gives us, his Spirit. And God's Spirit then enables us to do God's will and to glorify him. So doing the will of the Father is committing to Jesus and then doing what Jesus would do. What did Jesus do? He obeyed God's word. He relied on Scripture, the Bible. He prayed to his Father. He lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we should seek to do as well. But on top of that, as we've been saying today, we have each other to help us do that, which is a wonderful blessing. When we do those things, then we will be distinctive as Jesus' family. So they're the four things. Two final things, really, just to as I close. First, a happy ending to the story, if you like. Mary and the brothers didn't remain outside. We're told in the book of Acts, the next one after the four Gospels, in chapter 1, that after Jesus' death, after his resurrection, after his ascension to heaven, where he is now waiting to return, while they were all waiting, we're told in chapter 1 that the disciples, now called the apostles, means the same thing really, but just a different name. It says in verse 14, all the apostles, they all joined together, constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They saw the resurrected Jesus. They believed and trusted in Jesus. And here they were, the beginning of the church. And one of those brothers of Jesus, James, we learn as we read on in Acts, became the leader of the church, wrote the book that's called James in the New Testament. A really good ending to see how that turns out. But then secondly, and here finally for me, what are we going to take away today? Well, preaching the gospel, telling the truth, the good news of Jesus, remains God's will. It's God's will for us if we are followers of Jesus. If we're in God's family, if we're brothers and sisters in Jesus, we will be identified as doing God's will by making Jesus known and making that as a priority as individuals and as a church family. Now, I recognise, because I'm not very good at this, sometimes that responsibility to tell others about Jesus isn't easy. And, you know, for a whole, variety of reasons, that is. But in particular, today, in the context of our passage, it may be that our biological families won't understand. They'll be undecided about Jesus. They might think we're mad. They might reject Jesus. It was lovely to hear Bridget pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world, who are thrown out of their families and, for following Jesus, for instance. Jesus, he said it wouldn't be easy. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, he said, anyone who loves their father or mother or their son or their daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, he wasn't saying, as I mentioned earlier, he wasn't saying don't love your biological family. He wants us to love them. But he says, you've got to love me most because I am your King and Saviour. I'm the one who's rescued you. Put me first. And putting him first means telling other people about him. Sharing the good news of Jesus remains a priority. It's rarely easy. Sometimes it's hard. But it is God's will. And by his Holy Spirit, he equips us to do it. So if you're a Christian here this morning or listening on the live stream, I guess my question is, you know, are you inside with Jesus? Are you giving priority in your life? All the different things you do every day, how much of that is about sharing the good news of Jesus with others? Are you being a distinctive member of God's family? And as we seek to do God's will here at St. Patrick's, again, Bridget prayed this actually, which was really prophetic, I think. You know, how are you, if you're part of God's family here at St. Patrick's, how are you contributing to making Jesus known in everything we do? That's our vision here. What's your contribution? Jesus said in Matthew 8 that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And do you know, we need more workers here in St. Patrick's. We need all the family, all the brothers and sisters, being distinctive, serving together, doing our Father's will, and making Jesus known. Why don't you close your eyes? Let's just bring this to the Lord in prayer. If you are already involved at St. Patrick's, doing things which make Jesus known to people and are teaching people the gospel, the truth of Jesus, maybe in children's work or home groups, you know, whatever that might be, why don't you just thank God for that blessing that you have, that privilege that you have? If you're here today and you're doing something which contributes to other people doing that teaching and so on, maybe making tea for, you know, for something, or a helper in some way, thank God for that blessing, that privilege of doing that for his work. If you're a brother and sister here and you're not at present doing anything towards contributing, making Jesus known, or you know in your heart that you could contribute more, why don't you ask Jesus to, one, now in prayer, ask to give you the motivation and the desire to do that, and then to start asking him by his Spirit to lead you where that might be. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the absolute, amazing, wonderful privilege of being part of your family. Would you show each of us how we can serve you, where you want us to be serving or helping or whatever it might be, contributing to making your known name known, Jesus, here and beyond, because we want to do it for your glory. And we pray it in your name. Amen.